You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
This is Paul Dean. Welcome into The Dean's List today. Glad to be with you. Got a special guest with me on today's broadcast. His name is Larry Bean. He is the pastor of Salem Lutheran Church in Gretna, Louisiana. And going to direct you to a couple of places that he writes for out on the web and a teaching ministry that he has. I came across him on lewrockwell.com, so I just want to put in a plug for the website there. But Larry, thank you for being with me today. I'm excited to talk with you.
Thank you, Paul. Likewise.
Yeah. Just real quick, just let me introduce the folk to you. You've got a blog as well, and it's interesting. It's called fatherhollywood.blogspot.com. The whole Father Hollywood thing's interesting. I don't know if you have time to tell us about that, or can we read about that? What's the best way to deal with that?
Sure, I'll sum it up. It's sort of a kind of a joke. I was because of hardships in my first call out of seminary, financial hardships. I took a job at a video store. It was a Hollywood video store.
Wow.
And New Orleans is a very Roman Catholic area, and I had a coworker. She insisted on calling me Father Bean, and it took me a long time to get her to, you know, lighten up and refer to me by my first name while we were working together at the store. So
yeah,
that became kind of a funny nickname for
yeah
me. So that's my blog, and it is what it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is funny. Yeah, I went to seminary in New Orleans myself. It was a different seminary. It was the Baptist seminary, but it is interesting. You're right. Down in New Orleans, a number of people would call me Father Dean, and I had to, you know, I had to tell him, you know, I don't usually go by that. But anyway, some folk never got over it. But anyway, fatherhollywood.blogspot.com. I'm recommending the blog. A lot of interesting reading there. And what we're going to be talking about today is this issue of religious freedom. Everybody's been talking about it this week, you know, and of course in the weeks prior, and in the state of Indiana and the Religious Freedom Act and all of that business. And, you know, we're not just piling on in a sense saying me too, just want to add to the conversation. We're going to say some things, I hope, that are going to advance the conversation, not just add to it, but advance it. We're going to be saying something that maybe some folk haven't said. And that's why I was interested, Larry, to have you on the show today, because you said it so well in an article entitled, I Don't Believe in Religious Freedom. Now, that's a shocking title, and I hope it'll make folk read it, but also listen to what we have to say today. But you say you don't believe in religious freedom. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's obviously kind of a hook. It's kind of an attention getter. What I mean by that is not, I don't mean that religious people of faith, people holding religious views are not entitled to freedom. That's not what I mean by it.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is more in a sense of, I don't believe in religious freedom insofar as limiting what freedom is in the laws of the land to people of faith or people who have religious beliefs or what have you. In other words, freedom is a broader concept than these Religious Freedom Restoration Acts are approaching. And I think that's part of the problem. I think we need to see the bigger picture of what liberty is in a free society. And that's why I chose the title and to open my article that way.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you believe in religious freedom, but it's not just religious freedom. It's freedom in general, the larger issue. That's what you're talking about.
Right, because I think, number one, you know, there are a lot of people in our culture today who have no religious understanding at all, no religious affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they're not hostile, they just don't know what it is. And then there are also other people who are very hostile against Christianity. And I think that we can actually reach out beyond, that this is not just to protect a minority of people, you know, who believe a certain way or another. freedom is a broader issue. Everybody wants to have freedom, and if we can get people to really think in terms of what that means and what its implications are, it will be beneficial for everybody, Christians included. I mean, we're just kind of the punching bag right now, but that changes throughout history. You know, you see different groups that are being they're having their freedoms taken away from them. But freedom is for everybody, and when we figure that out, then we can all live together in peace and harmony insofar as we can in a free society without being violent against each other.
Yeah, that's it. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people think they understand what freedom is. A lot of people would agree with what you just said. I mean, a lot of Christians certainly would agree. It's about freedom. And yet, when I listen to various positions that people take in this, you know, whole discussion, this ongoing debate, you know, I sort of wonder, do we really understand what freedom is? Because, you know, just by way of example, I've heard some folks say, well, you know, I don't feel that I should be forced to, you know, sell a cake, and that's one of the issues, you know, sell a cake at a homosexual wedding. You know, it violates my religious beliefs. And yet the same people would say, oh, but I should, you know, the government ought to be able to force me to, you know, sell a cake to anybody who walks in off the street. I think there's a distinction between the two, but I don't think there's a distinction between the two issues in terms of freedom. Am I making sense?
You know, I think maybe an analogy might be, you know, a lot of times we might say to young people, look, when you're driving and you have a car, you have more freedom, right? Because you can physically go places with a car that you can't when you walk. But that doesn't translate to saying you have the freedom to have a car, meaning if your neighbor has two cars and you don't have one, now you have a claim on his car. So he has to give me a car because I have the right to my freedom. And I think that that's kind of in an absurd, you know, a reductio ad absurdum kind of way to I think a lot of people think in terms of freedom as being like that, that I have a claim on someone else's freedom or a claim on someone else's property because I want it and I don't have it and they do have it. And I think if we think more in terms of freedom, meaning the right to make choices, the right to own property, you know, the scriptures, I mean, the Ten Commandments, you have, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. Mm-hmm. This implies that you have a right to life, you have a right to personal property, because you need personal property in order to live. So to protect your life and your property means that you have to make certain choices, decisions, to be able to trade for property or buy and sell. And those are rights that we have, not that I have the right to compel you to give me something of yours, or that I have a right to compel you to do business with me, or anything like that. And I think that this idea of freedom being something you can compel other people to give up for your own sake violates what freedom is to begin with.
Yes. I think, you know, the big thing today is we shouldn't discriminate. You know, I mean, I as a Christian, you know, I don't believe in discriminating against others, you know, in an immoral way, in a harmful way. I mean, we all discriminate in one form or another. I mean, you point out this, I might buy a Coke instead of a Pepsi. You know, there's a sense in which I'm discriminating against Pepsi, but most people would say, well, that's not really what we're talking about here. But, you know, if we're talking about discriminating against someone, you know, I personally, you know, if I owned a diner, no matter who walked in, I'm going to serve them as a Christian. I think I should. But what we're really talking about is whether or not the government should force someone else who might, you know, not want to sell their product to a particular person for whatever the reason. And so it seems to me that this whole, you know, let's don't discriminate, that's trumped freedom. That's trumped liberty. And I think it's confused a lot of people. Does that make sense?
You know, I think you're right about that. It's a very difficult topic to talk about because people read into statements that you might make concerning this and try to ascribe evil motives and so forth. But this really began in during the civil rights movement. We had a social and a political system in place where it was based on racial discrimination, not much different than what you had in South Africa with apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, from a Christian point of view, human beings are created in the image of God, and how much melanin you have in your skin does not determine your personhood or your worth before God. And,
right.
We Christians understand that. And so in order to sort of end the Jim Crow situation, instead of appealing to freedom, instead of appealing to the ethics of the situation, we instead went the other way and said and used government force.
Hmm.
But what people seem to forget is the Jim Crow laws were just that. They were laws.
Yeah.
People's freedom of association was being infringed upon by the Jim Crow laws. If you lived in a state that had Jim Crow laws, you might have wanted to serve people of a different race, and the law prohibited you from doing that.
Right.
Well, if the laws were simply to allow people the freedom to associate, some people are going to make ugly decisions and some people are not. But at least we would have, again, it wouldn't be government compelling and setting a precedent to say who you can associate with and who you can't associate with. Discrimination has become a bad word, and it's unfortunate because it's led people to believe that any discrimination at all based on any reason at all is somehow evil. But like you pointed out, if you buy Coke, you're discriminating against Pepsi. Or, my friend Walter Block, who is one of my favorite atheists, he's a good friend of mine. He's an economist, economics professor at Loyola here in New Orleans. He points out that, we all discriminate, heterosexuals and homosexuals discriminate against 50% of the population, if you're married, you discriminate against 6 billion people because you have one spouse.
Right.
And, we married people, we end up discriminating against everybody. It's not a matter of hatred, it's a matter of people making choices to whom to marry, to whom to have in their home, to whom to do business with, and so forth. I think the solution to ending the ugliness of racial discrimination is more freedom, not less freedom.
Mm.
It's government and laws that got us into that mess in the first place. Where people are free to associate, especially in business, the point of business is to make money, and the money is all green. And even someone who has ugly racial views, they like having customers give them money.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe there was an unintended consequence, and now we're in a situation where people who have religious beliefs, not motivated by hatred, but motivated rather by their acceptance of a biblical worldview, are now being cast as villains. They're being cast in the same light as somebody with ugly racial views, and it's not that at all.
Right.
It's just a person, a baker. Can a baker be compelled to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding? Can a photographer be compelled to go to a function that he or she may have may not be comfortable with, or may violate their religious point of view? I threw some questions in the article,
yeah,
kind of somewhat ridiculous questions. Can a Muslim be compelled to go to a slaughterhouse and take pictures of pigs being slaughtered because,
right,
you're not allowed to discriminate?
That's
and
it.
That sort
and not,
of thing.
Yeah,
so,
and not to interrupt, we've got to go to break. That music means we're going to take our break. But I want you to key in on those analogous questions because, those kinds of questions, I think they open up our understanding. So right after the break, we'll tackle those. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Dean's List. I've got Larry Bean with me today, and we're talking about freedom in general. We want more freedom, not less freedom. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Jesus not only doesn't abandon ship when the going gets tough, he has made a way through all that is against us. In Christ, it's never over until he says it's over. In Christ, we ain't seen nothing yet. But even more importantly, in him, what really matters never ends.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sunday morning at 8:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It was my choice, his choice, their choice, our choice. I felt I had no other choice. Afterward, there was only sorrow and regret. I felt there was no hope. Where could I turn? Who would understand? Then I heard there was a safe place where I could share my grief, guilt, pain, and find recovery. Call Abortion Recovery Assistance of Piedmont Women's Center at 864-244-1434. It is confidential, loving, and supportive.
Miracle Hill provides a bridge to homeless and hurting children and adults. On Saturday, June 6th, bring your whole family to Furman University for the annual Interim Healthcare Miracle Hill Challenge. Registration is now open. Choose from a certified 5K run or a 20, 40, 62, or 100-mile ride. And for the kids, a Miracle Mile Fun Run. Register online at miraclehill.org. Miracle Hill Ministries. Shelter, food, and miracles. Every day.
Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome back into the Dean's List. I've got Larry Bean with me today. He is the pastor of Salem Lutheran Church in Gretna, Louisiana. And I want to mention this. He's also a professor of sorts, teaches online at the Wittenberg Academy in economics, government, apologetics. And, Larry, I think it's fair to say you're from the Austrian school. You teach Austrian economics. Is that right?
It sure is, yes.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. You know, that might be a term, you know, some of our listeners are not familiar with, but I really think they need to become familiar with it, obviously, and in our nation, you know, we have the issues, you know, that are so big. We're talking about the issue of freedom. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But, you know, a right understanding of economics is part of that issue as well, isn't it?
It sure is. Absolutely. Economics is choices in how you, you know, deal with your property and trade with others. And that's really at the heart of this question over that the country is in a full-blown debate over right now.
Yeah. And just one other thing. I think Christians, you know, we really do need to understand that, you know, the biblical worldview is comprehensive. It's a comprehensive view on all of reality. And so it is a proper biblical thing to look at all of these areas, economics, public policy, you know, the large issues in our culture. We need to look at all of them. We need to speak to all of them. And, of course, we need to do so through a biblical lens.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just before the break, we were talking about this whole issue of religious freedom and, you know, the Religious Freedom Act that Indiana passed. A number of other states have similar acts. And, you know, you were making the point that, you know, it's not just religious freedom. There are people who aren't religious. What about just freedom? And we were talking about whether or not the government, the state, should force us to associate with others or to do business with others. You know, most of us sort of think, and until we get into these kinds of issues, well, yeah, I have the freedom of association. I, you know, free market. I can buy and sell. I can do what I want. But, you know, you really can't do what you want. The government has sort of set up, you know, some boundaries for us and forced us, you know, here or there. But you were sort of teasing out some analogous questions. In other words, you know, should a Christian photographer be forced to photograph a homosexual wedding? That's sort of one of the big issues in the news. But you came up with some analogous questions, and I think those are going to help us to understand the issue a little bit better. Just give us some of those.
Well, you know, for instance, a vegan may believe in God or may not believe in God, but for whatever reason, such a person abstains from eating meat. And oftentimes it's a moral thing. They believe that animals are life and their life should not be taken. So what if you had a vegan photographer, and what if you had a slaughterhouse that maybe had an anniversary coming up or something and they wanted to have a nice photo album made? Can the vegan say no? I mean, vegans tend toward being left-wing in their politics. Many of them might, you know, want Christians to be forced to take pictures at a homosexual wedding, for instance. Should a vegan be compelled by the government to go to a slaughterhouse? And it might make them physically sick. They may be repulsed by it. And whether they're right or wrong about it, whether we agree or disagree with them, is it in a sense of compassion? I mean, couldn't you compassionately say, no, this is wrong to compel somebody to do something that makes them sick, or something that they find repugnant, or something that they just disagree with? I mean,
right.
It doesn't even have to be a matter of repugnance. They may just disagree with the whole premise. Do they have the freedom to say no?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of what freedom is. Freedom means the freedom to say yes or the freedom to say no. You can think of a lot of instances. You might have, artists, for instance, turn down commissions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If an artist is told, hey, look, I want you to come and take nude pictures of some people. I mean, an artist may not be comfortable in that situation. Maybe they would be, but maybe they wouldn't be. Should the artist be compelled by the government to go and to be in that environment and to work in those conditions if they choose not to?
Yeah.
And these are important questions.
Yeah. And you know, we Christians, I mean, I don't know if you'll agree, but probably so. Maybe so, I should say. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. But I think sometimes, because we don't think these issues all the way through, we maybe shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, sometimes we end up maybe forcing someone by law. You know, we support this law or that law. We don't realize what we're doing. And then, of course, when the tables are turned, well, you know, we're sort of in a huff. Well, we don't want to be forced to do this or the other. So you got that issue. But the other issue, we sort of shoot ourselves in the foot if we restrict the issue to religious freedom, because now how are you going to prove I have a religious conviction, you know, against this or that? And it's not just that. The issue should just be freedom, as you say. You know, are we going to force a vegan to take pictures at a slaughterhouse? You got other analogies. You know, I think the one, there are several that are compelling. I think the one you mentioned going into the break was a Muslim at a pig farm.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, that is a religious belief. It's not something we Christians share.
Yeah.
But just from a sense of any human being would ought to have a sense of compassion that if, you know, as reasonable or as unreasonable it is, based on their worldview, that would be very uncomfortable for them to be put in that position. So why would we do that unless we're really evil people, unless we're really kind of sadistic?
Yeah.
Why not go find another photographer who does not have that belief? You know, people are free to disagree with us on everything, economics, religion, politics, taste in music, you know, what kinds of, you know, things you like to read. It's a big world. There are a lot of different people, and not everybody is like us. And the only peaceful way for us to coexist is to have a worldview based on private property and freedom. And that means freedom of association.
Right, right. You know, here's one you mentioned, not to dwell on these. We're going to move on. But, again, just to open that window a little bit more, this is not a religious issue, but would we want to force a black photographer to take pictures at a white supremacist ritual? You raise the issue of compassion. That wouldn't be very compassionate, you know, to force something like that. I think a lot of people say, no, we're not going to force that. Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the issue of freedom. And it's not just the issue of photography. I mean, it's much broader than that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just this is the hot button issue right now, but it really applies to every manner of life. I mean, do you have the right to associate with people or things as you wish? You know, I'm not talking about being ugly to people or being violent or aggressive or taking away other people's rights, but you know, it's people have different tastes. Some people like dogs, and some people like cats, and some people hate animals. And should the government be mandating whether people have dogs or cats or birds or no animals at all? It just gets to become become quite ridiculous after a while.
Yeah.
In a free society, we just have to coexist. Leftists often display the bumper sticker that says coexist, but then they don't want to coexist with people who have a different worldview, namely a biblical worldview about what marriage is and what it isn't.
Yeah, that's right. Larry, we've got about 3 minutes before the end of the broadcast. Let me put this question to you. You point out in the article that I keep referencing, I don't believe in religious freedom. We know that's the hook. You're saying, well, yes, I believe in religious freedom, but the issue is freedom, freedom in general. You point out that both the left and the right, in some sense, have lost touch with what freedom is. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like our sinful flesh wants to control other people and wants to make them do what we want them to do. And for a person of who's a leftist, maybe they want their Christian neighbor photographer to go take pictures at a gay wedding. A person, a very traditional Christian, for instance, may not want people to do drugs because drugs are bad and it violates scriptures and so forth. This calls into question the drug laws. Mm-hmm. If my neighbor is smoking marijuana or what have you, do I have the right to compel them not to do it? Mm-hmm. And Christians on the right have traditionally been pretty heavy-handed in enforcing what we see as a moral issue or what we see as an important issue. Mm-hmm. We have Buddhist temples here in New Orleans. You know, some people might be tempted to have the government try to shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
But if we really believe in freedom,
Then
we should defend their right to have it, even if we disagree with them, even if we believe their religious expression to be wrong.
Yeah, I think Christians, as you say so often, we think, okay, well, the Bible says this is bad, so, you know, we need a law against it. But and then people like you or you know, I come along and say, wait a minute, we need to let people be free in a civil society. And then someone might say, well, you just don't have any good Christian values. And I want to say, well, wait a minute. I have the same values you do. I just don't believe in forcing my values through the government on someone else. I want to do unto others that I have them do unto me.
Absolutely. And it comes back on us, too, and it is right now. The state can control behavior in that way. Then the state can tell a Christian baker or photographer that they have to violate their conscience. It's kind of doubling back, boomeranging back on us.
It is, and that's a problem. Well, Larry, unfortunately, we've got about 30 seconds left, so we're going to have to shut it down right there. But I want to thank you for joining me today, and let me remind the folk, Salem Lutheran Church, Gretna, Louisiana, your blog, it's fatherhollywood.blogspot.com, and also the Wittenberg Academy. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
All right. I it's been wonderful for us, too, and I certainly will have you on again in the near future. We'll be back next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.